us. Hallelujah. God is not done with us yet. You know, that people can't figure out why they're still around. God's not done. There's somebody's life you can touch. But I can only touch one at a time. That's all he ever asked. He never asked us to get up on stage and preach thousands or millions. He asked us to go out and live our lives and touch one person. I might just get out again. Oh, something up here. Of course it is. It's me. Well, I do apologize for the muddy parking lot, but hopefully that's going to take care of our water running building issue. We had to put in 6-inch tile this week, so. And then it rained the day after. So it made a nice muddy mess. And then we poured the concrete the next day. And so that concrete truck ran over things, and, well, it just made some nice ruts. So praise God. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. We're going to also recognize our veterans here today because we didn't do it last week because half of us weren't here. So we weren't able to all be together. We said, you know what, we can hold off. The holiday was actually in between, so we get to extend the celebration. Amen. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for this day. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship you. To come together as one, to stand as free people in a currently free country. Lord God, we pray for our country. Lord, we pray that you stand beside her. Now, Father, we pray that you receive our tithes and offerings today. Bless them, Lord, according to your word, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated for just a couple minutes. I did have a couple of real quick announcements before I... also, tomorrow is OCC kickoff. Again, Miss Vicky did not put out a volunteer sign-up list. Just show up. We usually have plenty of people, so got plenty of people to stop by. My glasses are in my pocket. And there is one little thing out there. If y'all noticed, there's a Christmas tree standing in the foyer. There's a raffle for that tree. Now, when we say raffle, we mean put your name in the thing and you can get it. Now, if you are under 18... you need to have exclusive permission from your parents to win this tree. We learned personally to stipulate this because we used to have this gigantic big screen TV next in the other section that we used for junior church. Well, when we started replacing them with newer TVs and lighter TVs, we decided to have a little auction for it. Well, Jesse was 14, 13. We forgot to put a stipulation on it, so he ended up winning this TV that I did not want. And it became a thorn in my flesh because I had to get rid of this TV to sell my house because they said, we do not want that. Take it with you. I was saying, you can have the TV for free. It does work. We just had to... jam it up this, you know, we look like the Grinch trying to shove a Christmas tree up a chimney. But anyhow, it will be free. And if there's nobody that wants it, well, it'll be donated to somewhere. But it is a good tree, so. All right, so having said that, we're going to recognize our veterans here today. So if our veterans could come up, please. I know who you are. Now, I don't know what branch you're in. Navy. All right. I think No, everybody's not represented. We don't have the Air Force. We don't have the Air Force represented up here today. Okay, praise God. So, but anyhow, so what we've done, there is a little gift back here that my wife has prepared for you. No, you did. You did. Never mind. But anyhow, what we've done this year is, last year we had talked about maybe trying to get some little things for the veterans in the nursing homes for their walkers. Well, we weren't able to get that underway in time. Okay, that is kind of a bigger chore than just a couple weeks can do. However, I have already gotten the ball rolling. Uptown, on the four corners, there will be new flags posted for the next couple years in honor of our vets. But it will say, see if I can do this, to those who didn't make it home. And our church will be sponsoring those flags. We will be paying for those flags. Miss Donna Carver was a little surprised and shocked when I told her we were paying for them all. We weren't asking for anybody to pay. I said, I will pay full price, because apparently whoever's making the banners does it at a discount. And I said, I'll pay full price. And I said, I want to make sure that this gets out. But it'll say, to those who didn't make it home, K-I-A-P-O-W-M-I-A. Because, well, I don't know about y'all, but I got a P-O-W-M-I-A, all kinds of things with P-O-W-M-I-A, and I remember that. And I remember, I think I was in the sixth grade when I first learned about POWs, and I said, Lord, I'm going to pray every night until they're home. Then I got a little older, and I realized they aren't coming home. But I do have a wristband, and I do have patches, and I do remember the people we walked away from. Our government's been corrupt for a long, long time, folks. It didn't just start. When we start listening to businessmen, we've listened to the wrong people. We need to start listening to people who live in this country, who are normal. And I do think businessmen can help, but I'm telling you right now, we need to start remembering where we came from. It was men, it was teachers, it was farmers, it was blacksmiths, it was shopkeepers. It was all those people who rose up and said, we're not taking it anymore. And they fought. And they fought as equals. And they brought whatever weapons they could to make sure this country was free. But we want to make sure that, you know, this was something that was brought up. We're going to try to get it on all four corners, because the four corner posts up there have two flags each. So we can put one on, we're going to try to get one on the inside on each one, so that the square is covered every year until the flag wears out in remembrance. And y'all can know that. Nobody else will probably know that unless they're watching. But y'all will know that that was in honor of the sacrifice made by the men and women, particularly of this body. So, having said that, my wife has a presentation for everybody. Oh, I see what you got.
I can handle it, though. I need the exercise. I can handle it.
Okay. There's a ridge in the back. Okay. So there is why we...
I owe you one.
I didn't realize she did these. So, but yeah. These are pretty cool little things. I'm going to set mine right there. But...
I know right where to hang.
Yeah. But you know, we've got a whole other generation that's serving now. Pat's got a grandson. Dave and I have sons who are now serving. So it is surreal. What's that? Oh, and you got to send it serving. Okay, yeah. Okay. So, but it's a very surreal thing, isn't it? You know, I remember when we went back to the Persian Gulf. I thought, why didn't we stay the first time? That was my fight. That was my fight. But we backed out because it was no longer our interest. But folks, I think there's crap going on, and I just said that so you can understand how warmly I feel about it. That is not good in this country. Our freedoms are under attack. The freedoms that we all stood up for. So understand that, you know, when you see the old guy in the Walmart who's walking around, I love that, the pictures I see on Facebook. I don't know if you guys get to see some of them, but there's little memes and something that'll show an old guy, a real old guy. He's just sitting there, and he's got his hat on and stuff. But then it'll show a picture of him back when he was on active duty, carrying an M16 through the swamps and 100 pounds of ammo. Listen, you need to understand what took place. This country isn't here because of politicians. It's not here because of professors and teachers. It's because of men like these who got up. Most of us were 18, 19, and they went away. They did things that you and I will never, well, that you will never have to do. So remember that. When you're getting all cantankerous because that vet took your spot, or you think they're just an annoyance, just remember you owe them your freedom. You owe your freedom and from sin and death to Jesus Christ, and your freedom in this country to be speaking English and to live the free life we have to the American veterans. Having said that, thank you. That's good, man. Get you. Bless you, man. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Amen. Somebody, Pat just brought up a good thing. You know, people say, well, what about our people are served? Yes, they are. They're not technically considered veterans yet. We still honor them. Don't get me wrong. But understand, that's what Armed Forces Day is for. So if you've got somebody who's serving, it's on your calendar, trust me. It'll be there. But that's when you give them a shot as well. Because remember, Memorial Day isn't about us vets. All right, is that all I had to do besides preach? All right, junior church is dismissed. Now, I am trying very hard to keep my mouth under control on things. Y'all know how I feel about sports guys, athletes who think they're God. LeBron James never did anything for my freedom. I'm sorry. He's a good basketball player. But you don't make fun of somebody that stood up for freedom, somebody who was standing to stop other people from tearing up things. This isn't political, folks. This is what's right and what's wrong. You don't have to be Republican or Democrat. There's right and there's wrong. And part of the problem we have is we just don't remember the character we have in Christ. Jesus stood up. Jesus wasn't political. He stood up for what was right and for what was wrong. He stood against what was wrong. That's where he made his stand. He stood against religious people. He technically stood against Rome, even though people thought he was going to come in with a big army. That's what everybody wants, isn't it? They want a big fight. They want bloodshed. They want war. Until it happens. See, what we don't realize is when we open that can of worms, you can't put the worms back in the can. That's why the people of God need to start developing the character of Christ. And understand, first off, your prayers have power. They have so much power. Well, all I can do, Pastor, there's got to be something else I can do. Yeah, there's a time for that. Right now, I'm asking you to be praying. All the little puppets in Washington, D.C. are who you need to be praying for. You need to be praying that God moves them. And you know why I called them puppets? Because God said the heart of the king is in his hand and he can turn it as a river, just like you do a puppet. God can make them do what's right, even though it may not look right. Oh, by the way, God can also make them do what looks wrong to the body of Christ, but yet in the end, it brings God glory and it glorifies the church. Just ask Moses. But our character is something we need to develop. Character doesn't just happen. Character takes time to develop. It takes pressure. It takes perseverance. Most of us, if we're led to just go on our own, we are selfish. That's just the way the human being is. We look out for us and nobody else. And in the end, religion ultimately pushes that. And I said religion, not God. Because God is not religion. Well, you know, all religion really is our basis of faith. It's what we believe. But we fail to look in the Bible and see what God was pushing for. See, because when man gets involved in religion, he says, well, you know what? You can't do this. You can't do that. If you don't look a certain way, you can't be a part of this. If you ain't the right color, you can't be a part of this. And that axe swings both ways. Why do we think that God can't move because of the color of our skin? Our church in North Carolina was reviled so much because we were a proverbial melting pot. We had blacks, we had whites, we had Samoans, we had Koreans, we had some Japanese, we had some Chinese, we had Mexican, we had Puerto Rican. I'm trying to think, there's a few other folks in there that I knew. They were from all over the world. And yet the churches in the town talked about us because we allowed freedom. Which, just so you know, probably at that time, I'd say 50% of the church was made up by U.S. Marines. So, yeah, it better be about freedom. We have got to develop this character. Last week, I started talking about compassion and how Jesus said, I have compassion on these people. And it means to suffer with, is what the word means. I thought, when I got to look, I thought, okay, you know, my brain started going overanalyze and started breaking this down. Okay, compassion, calm and passion, calm and passion. Worked for me, except it's not right. Because it's from ancient Latin that means to suffer with. But I think it still works with common passion. If we have a common passion towards other people, if we see their suffering, just like our sister who's not here today, she sent us a message, she was going to stay home today. But she is watching. And by the way, she said she loves you. But I have not been in her shoes. Some of you have. To suffer with her. This is her first sibling. Some of you have lost many siblings. Some of you lost all of your siblings. When I say lost, they've passed. You can have compassion, empathy, because you've been through it. I have to think about what it would be like. And it sucks. And Jesus looked at people and he said, I have compassion because they're hungry, they're tired. But religion keeps saying, well, let's make them go out and get food. Jesus said, this is my responsibility, boys. Religion said, make them keep coming. I was sitting at a table with ministers one day, early on in the church. When I say early, probably in the first 5 years. And we had gotten invited to a minister's meeting down in Westerville. We went to this meeting. I didn't know anybody there. Had I even met him yet? You'll remember here in a minute. But so we went into this church down in Westerville, and it was a kind of a decent-sized church. And they, in the sanctuary, they had these tables set up for a little banquet they were having. And Angela and I, we said, well, you know, I don't know anybody to go sit by, and I don't know, they didn't have the head of the table marked anywhere, which they usually do. So Angela and I, we went up and we sat as far away as we possibly could. And when the guest minister who was speaking, who I have since talked to, and you can see him on TV if you'd like, came in, he came in and sat down 2 seats from me. He didn't sit where they thought he was going to sit. Because all these other preachers, man, they came flocking in and they wanted to be right there with him. I mean, I gotta get my licks. I gotta get this guy to know me. You know who I am. And Angela and I said, you know what? If y'all don't know me yet, I prefer to stand back. I prefer to stand back and watch what's going to happen. And then I'll jump. Sometimes you can do that, sometimes you can't. But I prefer. Y'all, they'll think, I stand in the back for a reason. I don't want your eyes on me. I want your eyes on God. So we sat down. Like I said, he was the second seat away from me. So this young guy turned out to be the host pastor's son. Sat down next to me. And this man of God was talking. And, you know, he said, I want people to respect my time. He said, a lot of people, they don't. He said, they don't think that I'm actually doing something. They think I just sit around all day. I know the feeling. But he said, they call me whenever. Now, if you call me, you had better have a real purpose other than just whining. And he said he had so many, and that was the thing, he had preachers calling him to whine. Preachers coming over to his house at any time just to talk. Well, and he said, I decided, I said, you know what? If I'm doing something, you're going to participate. I noticed nobody called me when I was pouring concrete. No, I'm just teasing. But he said, so if I'm running, he said, I tell the guys to bring your shoes. I'm jogging. And the young man spoke up and he said, that's it. Yeah, that's right. Make them earn it. Make them get out there and run. And I was biting my tongue. I think I might still have a scar. As I just turned and looked at him with this what the heck moment. You missed the point. See, somebody like me couldn't call him and grab my running shoes and go run. I have no cartilage in my right knee anymore. So I've been told not to run. So how's that compassion? He had no compassion on anybody because he was a spoiled brat. And that is what religion is raising, is spoiled brats do not understand the compassion Jesus had. The next time I heard from the kid's father had actually called me. Pat and I were hunting. I get this call or text message, and I'm like, huh, okay. I got back, say, hey, yeah, what's up? I thought he wanted me to get in some multi-level marketing business. I said, no, thank you. I think I'm selling vitamins or something. But folks, our compassion has to start and be genuine. We have to look on people and see that they're hurting. And know when to say, you know what? You can come run with it. Hey, you know what? Maybe my run isn't that important today. I understand the discipline. Once you stop, if you stop running, you skip a run for the day, guess what's going to be harder to do tomorrow? Run. Trust me. I was running in 2010, and I got a headache. Thought my pillow, thought my neck was out or something. Turned out I was starting to get barometric pressure headaches. And I quit running. I'd lost 20 pounds, and then my knee gave out, and so I'm done running. But I've got a bike, and I was biking, and then I've missed a day. And then I missed 2 days. And then I missed 365 days. So we have to remember to have the compassion on people. Let me get back to my notes from my scriptures. Romans chapter 9, verse 15. By the way, we had a little snafu with the computer. It was being fickle today. It just decided to shut off and do whatever it wants. It says, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. We look at people and we say, you deserve compassion or you deserve mercy. And God says, I'll have compassion on whoever I will have compassion on. You will not be telling me who I will be having it on. He said to Moses. He told Moses this. The supreme religious leader of his day. He had to say, I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. It's not up to us to decide who gets compassion. But if we have it within our ability and God has moved on us to do so, we are required to do so. You may look at somebody, well, they don't deserve it. Look, they're just an alcoholic. They're just a drug addict. I never thought about it until, I think it was Tim had said something. Until you look at it and you realize that there's a parent who's back here saying, that's my child. Now we start thinking about mercy and compassion. And we can start praying for people. Even when we pray for drug dealers to get caught, we are praying compassion on them. Not that they're shot, but that they're stopped so that this whole thing can stop, so people can be freed, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can get to those who need it. Compassion is what separates us from so many things in this world. It's what's supposed to separate the love. The Bible says they will know us by our love. Compassion, love, charity, they're all combined. And when we say we have compassion on people, it's more than just, hey, look what I did. We tell you guys what you did. When we tell you how many boxes we sent out as a body. When we tell you the things that we did. That's why I didn't go tell everybody. I didn't go to every veterans organization to tell them about, hey, look what our church is doing. Maybe the rest of the churches ought to do it. Absolutely not. The only people that do know that we are going to do this is Ryan at the veterans office and Donna Carver, Ryan and Darcy. They're the only three people outside of this body who know what we're going to do. Because we're not doing it to draw attention. Because I know people who were killed. Their bodies came back, but they didn't. So when you start having compassion on people, you can feel their pain. Jesus could feel their pain. That's why Paul said we don't have a high priest who has no idea what it's like. He knows in every way what it was like to be you. To have the frustrations that you have. To have the dreams that you have. Just to have somebody pull the rug out from underneath of you. And yet he had compassion. He didn't look at the sheep as just, hey, you know, I get to keep eating. I get to get fat and happy. He looked at them with compassion. His heart was broken as he began to suffer with them, realizing they were sheep without a shepherd. Nobody was there to look after them. There's a lot of people in this world that refuse to come to a church because preachers have gotten away from what they're supposed to be doing. Pastors think they have to travel the world now in order to have their real ministry. You are my ministry. You're my calling. And if you need me, I'm there. I'm not in some other country. I'm not leaving you to somebody else who doesn't care. You can't have that. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. But I just tell you, this is where the writer of Hebrews was saying, Jesus understands what it's like. He can have compassion because we're ignorant. Do you guys know, Angela had to explain this to Justin the other day. The word ignorant isn't a bad word. Why have we made it a bad word? You ignorant? So what? It just means I don't know. When it comes to trigonometry, I'm ignorant. When it comes to calculus, I'm ignorant. I did learn something the other day about angles. For a vehicle to climb a 45-degree angle, it takes the same exact amount of force going forward as it is coming against it. That is called a 100% how did they put it? 100% G. It's the exact same force going up as is pulling against it. So if it's got 7 G's of force pulling back, it's got to have 7 G's of force to go forward. It had something to do with a Mercedes G-Wagon climbing a hill. But I'm ignorant to all that stuff. There's so much stuff I'm ignorant to. And you know what? Some of it I don't care. I don't care how the space shuttle got up there. Because you know, in my mind, okay, we need more fuel. Right? More fuel will get that rocket up there. Bigger explosion will get that. Well, thank God there's people that understand the math and some of this other stuff. Because otherwise, I'd have a big fireball. My eyebrows would just be growing back about the time I'd do it again. But he said he has compassion on their ignorant. They're going astray. He has compassion on these people. The church does not. And I throw that across the whole body of Christ. Because he himself was subject to it. He was subject to be able to go, I don't want anything to do with you religious people. But yet, guess what he did? Every day, he went to the synagogue to pray. He even taught in the synagogues. And yet, those were the very people who hated him. but he didn't let it stop him. So that's why I say people that are, well, church, I don't want anything to do with church, you need to get over it. I could ask every last one of you, I'll raise my hand, we've all been hurt in church at some point. Somebody made us mad, whether it was the preacher or the guy sitting next to us. Somebody said something stupid. Have compassion on those who are ignorant. They didn't know. And if you cannot have compassion, then you are not developing the character of Christ. First Peter chapter 3. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So many people are stuck on inheriting blessings of Abraham that they forgot to develop the character of Christ. We want everything that God has, but we don't want the character that it's going to take to carry it. I learned the other day of a man who I knew from years ago, and I learned it. He had been a preacher. I looked down and I told her, I said, who on this earth was dumb enough to ordain him? And I know she knew what I was thinking about, and she knew who I was talking about. And I said, the man had no character. He was a character. Who ordained him? God does not call novices to do this job. You got to develop tough skin for starters. People say and do stupid things, and that's not just this job. But folks, if we develop this character, and by the way, where I developed this character was not in church. It was sticking out a job that I hated. I hated that job. Wished I'd quit that job on day one. Because I could have gone back to the job I just left where they promised me a pay raise when I'd just gotten the biggest pay raise out of the entire plant, out of the entire company. They were going to give me more to stay. And said, if it didn't work out, you have a job. Just call me. That was great. Except I didn't want second shift in Columbus. I developed the character by living life and realizing some people are just jerks. You're going to have them no matter where you're at. But let me tell you what, body of Christ, you are not called to be a jerk. They're rude, crude, and lewd. We are not called to that. Now we can look at somebody and say, well, he's just a jerk. You better watch what you're called. What people are calling a jerk sometimes isn't being a jerk. I can look at my drill instructors and say, you were a jerk, you're a jerk, you're a jerk. Well, some of the things they did to us were pretty jerky. I mean, y'all, can I get amen from my vets? They weren't exactly nice people. I sat down, I was starving. It was end of boot camp, and I had a tray full of food. I had gained 20 pounds of muscle, and you needed to feed that. And I sat down, and I had this other kid who, by the way, found out after he graduated, they held him because he had sickle cell anemia. He was only, his arms were not much bigger than that. He was a tiny guy. And he's sitting next to me, and one drill instructor walked in, and I thought, oh, dear God, I thought I had 5 minutes to eat. Now you're here. Now I got to suck it down. And I sat down there, and he looked at my plate, and he looked over at the other guy. The other guy didn't eat squat. He said, there's something wrong here. Sir, switch trays. We switched trays. I looked at him, glared at him, and I said, you'd better eat every bit of that. Because I am hungry. It was kind of a jerky thing to do, wasn't it? Well, yeah, that really was. But he was trying to get this other kid to gain some weight. I don't know if he knew that he had sickle cell yet or not. But I can look back and I say, they were jerky things to do. Well, by what we kind of tend to call jerky things, they made a man. Right, guys? Your drill instructors, if they did their jobs right, they made you a man. At 18, 19. To make somebody who will run at a bullet. At 18 years old. And now today we've got 18-year-olds that are offended because you believe the way you believe. That's why I served. Not just for the people that believed like me, but for those who believed different than me. Now, we're not to return evil for evil. Why is it when somebody does something wrong, we want to go out and wrong them? The Bible clearly tells us not returning evil for evil. Peter, if you understand anything about Peter, he was a hothead. Peter spoke with his fists more than he spoke with anything else. He understood popping a guy in the mouth when he ran his mouth. He was ready to kill people. Peter's the one that says, we have two swords. Jesus said, enough of the foolishness. Now Peter's saying, not returning evil for evil. But on the contrary, blessing. See, when you pray a blessing upon your enemies, Proverbs talks about this, you heap coals upon them. I watched a show the other day, and the woman, the main character was Native American. She had forgiven somebody for what they had done, something they had said, how they had treated her, and the other person pointed out and said, "When you forgave them, it just drove her nuts." She said, "That's not why I did it." We don't. We don't forgive people for us or for them. We forgive them for our sake. If we carry around, listen, if I carry around on my back all the things that were done to the Irish, where am I going to be? I'm going to be broken down on my knees for something that wasn't done to me, but something that was done to somebody else. Oh, and by the way, I got this feeling, knowing what's inside of me, that any of my family, they returned fire. They returned evil for evil. Okay? Because I know what's in my heart. And I know I'm not the only one. You spit in my direction, I'm going to spit back. Right? You slap me, I slap back. And it may not be with an open fist. That's our natural tendencies. That's what Peter's trying to tell us. We need to develop this character to be on the contrary, to know that we were called to bless people. Because when we can forgive them and they see that, the Bible puts it this way, we heap coals of fire upon their heads. That's why I do it. I do it. Sorry, I heap coals. You still miss the point. You're no different than the brat who didn't understand what the other man of God was saying. We don't do it to hurt people. We forgive them for our sake, and when we forgive them, God can move in their lives. And when God can move in their lives, mountains can be moved. I'm tired of preachers running around saying, you need to move this physical mountain. God wasn't really talking about a physical mountain. Let's understand this. He used it as an analogy. God don't need you to move a mountain. That's why he made guys from Caterpillar. They make big dozers. They can move mountains. Let them do it. You move the spiritual mountains that are blocking you. God doesn't need us doing stupid things because we think that's the way it should be done. We need to be doing what the Bible says, not returning the evil for evil. Praying for those who spitefully use us, spitefully hurt. That meant they meant to do it, Pat. You know, I know you know what that's like. They meant to hurt you. They did it because they knew it would hurt you. We're told to pray for them, not crucify them. But Peter put it this way, so that we may inherit a blessing. Oh, bless me, Jesus. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Well, let's see. Are you returning evil for... Well, you know, they had it coming. Well, so do you. You do know it never ends, right? You hit them, they hit you. You hit them back. It never ends. It just keeps going. Look at the Hatfields and the McCoys. They are still got some people who have a little butt hurt over a stupid pig. It started over a pig. We have to develop this character. And when we develop this in character, we will inherit blessing. I want God's blessing, folks. I don't know about you, but if God's blessing me, that means He's not standing against me. Right? I mean, it makes sense to me. If I'm doing something that's prideful and arrogant, which is returning evil for evil, reviling people, treating them badly, He's not going to bless me. But if I take it on the chin, doesn't mean that they're going to get away scot-free. Doesn't mean that they come in here and do something really, really stupid, that there aren't consequences. You need to understand that there are consequences to our actions as human beings. I'm amazed, and I'm trying to remember the woman now. Some of you might remember. Guy killed her daughter. She went every day to the prison and visited him and prayed with him. Yeah, I can't think of it either. And she forgave him. And he found Christ. One soul. Well, that's just one soul, Pastor. Yeah, one soul. He'd have came for just that soul. So let's remember that. If it was just you, He had came for just you. James chapter 5, verse 11. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now let's look at something here. I know I've talked about Job before, and I know that you've read the Bible. And I know that you are intelligent enough to see that when God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" What God really did. He picked the fight. That's exactly what He did when He said that. Well, you're protecting him. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll lift that protection. You can't do this, this, and this. I told you He's not going to do it. Job had something that needed to leave. It was fear. He offered sacrifices every day in fear that his children would do something against God and God would kill them. Well, God didn't kill him. The devil did. Because of his fear. I have taught against worry. I have taught against fear. I've taught about it, I should say. It's not that we don't experience the fear. You understand what I'm saying? Just before a guy anybody goes out over into a combat situation, I can promise you, there is fear and trepidation in them. But it's not going to stop them. Cowardice is to stay. Courage is to overcome the fear. And we are called to be courageous. Ask Joshua about this. The Joshua in the Bible, by the way. Not either one of them that attend here. You could ask him. Maybe they might know a little bit more too. But you need to ask God what to do in things. God has an intended end for your life. He has an intended course for your life, period. But if you are acting like your ancestors before, this is just the way we've always done it, has it ever worked out? I can look back at my ancestors. Did it ever work out? Did all the backstabbing, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, did it ever work out for you? Oh, you had a comfortable life in this world. Oh, la-di-da. This life isn't it. There's more to this life. It's on the other side. That one's eternal. See, folks, I keep telling you, I try to keep bringing it back to how we treat each other. Because when you read about the parable of the sheep and the goats and the shepherd separating them, he separates them based on how they treated people. First off, goats are selfish from what I've been able to figure out. They will eat everything, right? Goats got their own mind that, well, they'll eat the grass from what I've been told. They eat the grass down, where sheep will actually just move and not kill it. But goats have a purpose. Sheep have a purpose. And I've actually got to where I like goat cheese. It's got to be fresh, though. But he separated them. He said, depart. I never knew you. You go here. You go away. You didn't look out for me. And they'll say, but Lord, wait a minute. We held major revivals. We held meetings where we taught people. People were rolling on the floor. They were laughing. They were crying. We sang great songs to you. He said, you never knew me. God's not in our songs. He's in our love. Because God is love. He said, depart, for I was hungry, and you never fed me. I was naked, and you never clothed me. I was bound up, and you never came to me. But, no buts. There's no second chances. We didn't develop the character of Christ. When we develop the character of Christ, we will find the balance. Well, Pastor, I don't know that God's calling me to a prison ministry. Probably not. There are people who are called to that. And I'm going to promise you, it's harder to get into the prison. The easiest way to get into a prison is commit a crime. It's the stupidest way. I was going over and talking with a guy for a while. And the stuff I had to do, they had to search. If I bought him a Bible, I had to order it from the distributor. It had to come sealed. Even though they could just flip through it and see that there's nothing in it. So it's kind of hard to get into a prison to minister. Bless those who are doing it, because it's definitely a calling. But you know what? We try to take care of the hungry. We try to clothe those who are naked. Oh, but Pastor, we don't have a we don't have that ministry. You're right. I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. We're the body of Christ. Edison Enterprise has a really good food program. Morrow County Clothes Closet has a very good clothing program for kids in school. You know what I love about that program? They don't want your garbage. We usually make just a financial donation, but sometimes we'll be into like Kohl's. You ever go into Kohl's? You know where I buy most of my shoes? Off the clearance rack. I'm cheap. Yeah, oh yeah, I buy most of my stuff off the clearance rack. I pay $3 or $4 for a $60 shirt. But shoes, we've gone in there before. They needed boots. And they had bunches of winter boots for kids. And we already knew, because we had talked to, I think Donna was in charge of that, or part of it, about that. So we as a body bought every pair of boots that Kohl's in Delaware had on their clearance rack. And kids that winter had dry feet. Because I know I'm talking to some people here who understand what the bread bag thing is about. It don't work. That's where you put your foot in the bread bag and then put it in your shoe. Your feet sweat, and that's worse. See? Compassion. You can suffer with somebody. That's why Compassion International. A bunch of us in here have sponsorship of children. We may or may not have the information back here. I encourage everybody to do it. The little girl we adopted. When did we adopt her? Okay, so she's just behind Justin. She's 15 now. She's grown up. We've watched her grow up from this little tiny thing. She was about 3, and now she's a teenager, young woman. And through the life, early on, her prayers were, pray for my daddy, that he quit drinking. Pray for my family. Well, I don't know what happened, but there's no more prayers for daddy. Doesn't take much. Sponsor somebody like that, to do something like that. Oh, but Pastor, I'm going to have to give. Oh, shut up. Of course you're going to have to give up something. But I'm going to tell you right now, for in particular this case, whenever I get that bill, I can do all my stuff online right there, and I type in and send that. It does my heart good to know that little girl is going to get food. She's going to get clothes. She's going to get education. She draws us pictures. Same thing with these boxes, folks. It's compassion. You're sending something out to people. You don't know what it means until you hear somebody got saved. And when one person gets saved, somebody else usually gets saved. And they come to find Jesus Christ. This is what compassion is about. So let's try to develop the character of compassion over saying, well, I'm not going to do anything. Nobody did anything for me. Get off your pity horse. Suck it up and do something. You've got to sow a seed. One of the things I was saying I liked about the clothes closet is when they get cash, they go by clearance, they go by sales, and they do what they can do. But they said, we go and we try to buy name brands, so the kids aren't ridiculed in school. Anybody forget what it was like to be in school? You ain't got the right clothes. They make fun of you. I had tennis shoes that Mom and Dad bought at Dollar General. That they were okay when it was warm, but boy, when you had to walk in the snow, then that sole got hard. And I had gym class first thing in the morning, and that sole never warmed up yet. We'd be playing basketball, and I'd try to stop, and whew, they were awful. But I wore them. What I liked about them is they make sure that the kids aren't picked on because they're wearing something a little different. They're wearing the same stuff. Have compassion on people. Ask God where to give, where to help, what can you do? What can you do to help somebody else? You see a family that needs some help. Let me tell you what, pride will ruin people. Well, I don't take charity. You don't understand, charity is love. The King James reads it, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. That's how the King James reads. It's love. And if you ever lord it over somebody, you are a prideful, arrogant butt munch. There. Don't go around telling everybody what you did. That's all the reward you get for it. All right, let's stand. So, if we're going out this week, this is not the mission field, folks. That mission field's outside those doors. That mission field is in your school. That mission field is on your job site. That mission field is at your show up. It's wherever you are. That mission field is in the grocery store. Being nice to somebody, even if they look like they want to eat your lunch and smack you first. Be nice to them. Show them a little kindness. You don't know what they're going through. And as the Lord leads, I'm not going to say flutter, but, you know, send Cheryl a message. She was close to her brother. But we're all rejoicing that he's in heaven, not waiting for his next heart attack. Amen. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, to be in the body of Christ, to be a part of your kingdom. Lord, we pray now that you help us now to begin to develop the character of who you are. Father, to have compassion on people, even if they didn't have compassion on us. Lord, knowing that our reward will be a permanent reward. As Jesus had said, we lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor thief can get in. So, Father, I thank you that as we develop this character, Father, that you're moving in us to touch lives. Father, to bless these people that are around us instead of cursing them. Father, I pray now that you begin to move. Move mightily in these people's lives today. Father, bless them. Bless them this week as they go about. Father, help us to remember the holiday that is coming up, Thanksgiving. The day we stop and we give you thanks for all that you've done. for all that we have. Father, may we remember that not everybody has all the blessings that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.